Welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom Show, your bi-weekly opportunity for inspiration and positive insights shared by confident women, role-modeling ways to move past chaos and into confidence, despite interesting and challenging journeys. Coming to you live now with your host, Yvonne Silver, today, August 7th. Welcome. So welcome to the Words, Women, and Wisdom Show live with my guest, delightful guest, Rita Ikeezy. And I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Rita. Are you there?
I am, and that was absolutely perfect, Yvonne. Thank you.
Lovely. I'm so glad that you could join me. We met recently at kind of like a garden party and started talking about our combined experiences with the Royal Roads University, where I took my executive coach certification. And then this led to a really intriguing conversation. And today's guest interview with Rita, I've called it Cancer Chaos to Confidence, because you've had an amazing journey, Rita. And I'm going to do your formal introduction in just a moment. So for those of you who are just joining, this is a fairly new show. We kicked it off a couple of weeks ago. It's a bi-weekly live radio show. So as you're listening to Rita, if you have questions, if you're listening to me talking about something and have questions, you can actually dial in live and we will take callers on the air. So the number to do that, if you want to make a note of it, is 888-627-6008, and that's a toll-free number. So it's 888-627-6008. And because this is a live show, Rita did warn me. She's actually dog-sitting right now. So if we get some additional animals on the call, that's what live radio is all about. Then you know it's live.
Well, sorry about that. The doorbell actually rang.
Anything could happen.
Yeah.
So I started doing this show at the invitation of one of my 10-year veteran colleagues, a radio show host. And it's been really intriguing to step from the interviews that I was doing last year with influential and confident women on Zoom into a broader space that's actually live streamed and also available on iTunes as well in a day or so. So let's move into our introduction, my introduction to my lovely guest. Rita has formally, I mean, she's got a Master of Education, a BCom, she's got lots of different credentials. I think, though, that while credentials are extremely important to demonstrate our educational competence, I think that the life experiences that we each of us go through, embracing those learnings and really bringing them to life, are what are most important. So if you haven't had the pleasure yet to ever meet Rita through maybe a Chickwagon event or one of her other events through Wellspring, Rita has founded several successful businesses. She was actually, a little while ago, in 1997, a regional finalist for the Canadian Women Entrepreneur of the Year Award. So, past congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're in the right place. You're in good company. I just recently got nominated for a Woman of Inspiration 2018 wonderful. Award for the mentorship work I'm doing. So, awards are a really wonderful way to celebrate our great contributions.
Yeah.
You've also been, though, an international delegate on Government of Canada trade missions and summits, as well as participating in several federal task forces in the past. You had received a Global Television YWCA Woman of Vision Award, as well as the Western Legacy Award for Innovation. And also your work at University of Calgary Women's Resource Centre was recognized with a Distinguished Alumna Award as well, just a couple of years ago, 2012, a few years ago there. And I'm honored to be speaking with a lady who has also been honored with the Order of University of Canada, founding
Calgary.
Director for... Yeah, in Calgary, mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm.
And several other organizations that you've been a founding director of, the Quick Draw Animation Society, the Chick Wagon Foundation for Women, Wellspring Calgary, which we'll talk a little bit more about later, and also the Legacy of Tao, which I'm interested to hear a little bit more about as we get into the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So you're pretty active as well on some boards and advisory committees, I understand, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Certified facilitator, Alberta Government's Board of Development Program.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty a pretty intriguing program, especially for those women who are ready to elevate their confidence and step up by contributing on a board. And then more recently, our Royal Roads connection. You're now associate faculty at Royal Roads University teaching entrepreneurship and leadership, as well as offering consulting services. I don't know how you fit it all in.
one step at a time. Yeah.
So you work with nonprofit and board governance in your consulting practice as well, doing event planning and fundraising, entrepreneurial startup, community outreach, and then also your cancer survivorship through the Image Consulting Insight Management for Action, Growth, and Expansion. I love that acronym. I definitely want to find out a little bit more about that as we go on.
Hmm.
I think the most grounding thing, though, about all of this wonderful experience is where you started, you know, where you've come from. You've had an amazing journey, and obviously I'm intrigued to learn more. And you had shared with me recently that you also grew up in a household that had, I think we called them some challenges. So maybe we could start there. Tell me more a little bit about your growing up, and maybe, you know, some of those experiences may have connected later to your diagnosis with cancer, or your ability to manage that that news. So,
tell me
about your life growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very interesting childhood. My parents and my family, my roots are actually in central Italy. My father, interestingly, was a shepherd, a very unusual profession in this day and age. I don't know too many people who can say their father was a shepherd, but that's what my dad did. Mm. And my mother was one of 13 children, the oldest woman, which I think is relevant, like the oldest child and being a female. Neither one of my parents were able, they were illiterate. They were illiterate in their own language. They really did not learn how to read or write. And I think that impacted a lot of what they were able to provide for me. And what happened there is that my three brothers, being, you know, male, which is interesting, they were all born in Italy. My parents immigrated to Canada in the late 1950s, as many immigrants did. And both myself and my sister, who is 4 years younger than me, were born in Toronto. So we were young Canadian infants. We, you know, I've always considered myself a Canadian. That was my world. But my family was not Canadian. My parents were very old school. They were very traditional. They submerged themselves in their Italian community. My first language was not English, even though I was born in Toronto. I started school quite late because my mom didn't quite realize she had to put me in school. This is odd for a Canadian-born person, right?
It is.
And so I always found that, and I realized very early on in my childhood that maybe I was a little bit different. That, you know, when I watched my parents and I heard them or I was exposed to school, I had so many dreams and desires and passions and interests, and none of that was supported. And it wasn't not supported in the sense that, you know, they just didn't understand. I mean, my dad was, well, you're a female. You don't need to go to school. You know, just find some man and get married and you'll be taken care of. And I don't even understand why this is of any concern. So I struggled. I struggled every day of my life as a child trying to figure out who I was, when we talk about how confidence builds, this was a big part of my upbringing. It was very challenging for me. I don't know. I can't speak, you know, on behalf of my sister. I don't know if her journey was a little easier because she had me, and I'm hoping I taught her a little bit more about that. But myself, as a female in a family, an Italian Roman Catholic family, with a mom who just, you know, was there to service her family and her husband and her sons, and maybe teach her daughters to just be as, you know, complacent as she was very difficult for me to accept. I fought that a lot when I was a child. And I really didn't realize until I got into my early teenage years that I actually had the ability to change that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. So how old were you, Rita, when you actually were accepted and started school?
Oh, I was a little older. Like, I didn't do junior kindergarten or kindergarten. It was late into grade one. I remember even entering the classroom, not even when everybody else started, you know. It was, my recollection is that somehow my parents realized that they did have to put their little female child into school, and so off I went. And I do remember being brought to the front of the classroom and introduced, and of course I didn't know English too well. And one of my very, very best friends, who is still one of my dearest friends, got up and walked up to the front of the class and kind of took my hand and helped me. Again, you know, another young girl who realized that, you know, I was feeling a little lost up there. So, you know, that's my recollection of it. And I always struggled with that, always struggled with parents. You know, when you're a young kid, your parents are your world. They know everything, right? You don't question that. And as I began to grow up and read and have access to information, I realized that maybe they didn't know. And that was hard. It was hard for me to embrace that my parents were not who I needed to turn to for support. You know? Yeah, it was difficult.
Yeah, it's really interesting listening to your story because you had listened to a little bit of my video and my story. And, you know, I also grew up in a household where I didn't have a strong female role model because my mom was independent when she married my dad. But then he slowly, through his PTSD, anger, and traumatic mindset, abused her verbally until she was an empty shell of herself. Mm-hmm. And so I did not see a strong role model. So it's interesting that, you know, you could very easily have stepped to one side and said, you know, that's how life is. I'm just going to follow the sheep,
exactly,
as it were. Pardon the pun on that shepherd.
Yeah, exactly.
Little inside joke there. Or, like me, you chose to, in essence, rebel and say, no, this is not going to be my life. I'm not going to let myself stay small.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's. I think it's so refreshing because we have a wide range of women listening to these calls. Some of them are already exceptionally confident women entrepreneurs out there just really, you know, making massive ripples. And I think that there are also some women who are perhaps a little bit less self-aware about their confidence level and maybe haven't had a chance to go on any kind of awakened journey yet because circumstances haven't presented themselves yet to say it's time to really dig into, you know, if you're not feeling confident, what is it that is preventing that? So it's great to hear that you started late and you've still managed to do some amazing things. So your cancer diagnosis, that came later. So that was when you were, 38, I think.
Yeah, that's actually when I was diagnosed. That's very interesting because I've reflected a lot on that whole cancer experience. It probably came a lot earlier, of course, than it was diagnosed, right? So I would, from what I understand now about cancer, and I do have a little bit of a science background, which helps me to understand that, is that the cancer was probably there in my early 20s. So it was, you know, it's there. That's another thing a lot of women just don't realize. You know, we don't really pay attention. It's sort of all of a sudden there's a diagnosis, and it's very rare that cancer just pops up, especially something like breast cancer or women's cancers. You know, by the time that lump is felt, by the time that lump is actually recognized through an ultrasound or something else, it's been there a while. So it was early. I was quite young, I think, when the cancer began. You know, there's the manifestation inside the body of something, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of Louise Hay's work. You Can Heal Your Life. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that that set of teachings. And I should have actually looked it up. I'll have to do it afterwards, look up and see what it says for cancer. Because very often there are some internal beliefs that contribute to us getting diagnosed with something. And for me, it was diabetes and not having enough joy in my life. Well, gee, that's what I did. So I set off on this journey to find more joy and realized that it was actually all around me. I just was going so fast. I had stopped to actually smell the roses along the way.
Interesting. Yes. And another very interesting thing, you know, about cancer, of course, is that as we know more and more about the pathology of it, you know, I really don't believe that any one particular thing causes it. And I still believe that it's difficult to blame any one particular thing for something like cancer. It's such a complicated condition. But we do know that cancer cells do go awry. We do know that there's a reason for that, whether it's a toxic environment around the tissue fluid or there's too much, you know, if you're very stressed or anxious or, you know, your environment, your world, whatever women worry about, and they worry about a lot, you know, creates that kind of, toxic cellular fluid, too much adrenaline in there, too many stress-related hormones, whatever it is, and it just builds up and builds up. It's like the little bubble on a tire that can keep going for a long time, and then one life action will burst it, right? Too much stress. Or, you know, exposure to a toxin, like a real toxin. You know, I worked in a medical laboratory for many years without a fume hood, which didn't help. You know, things like all of the factors that contribute. So it's such a multimodal condition, right?
Well, I understand, were given 6 to 8 months prognosis. And then sold your business. You set off on this journey of discovery, which I'd love to hear about in just a moment or two. I think, though, it's time to maybe go to just a brief interlude, because that was some pretty big stuff you just shared. So let's just have a little light music for a moment to just absorb. Rita, I just love the openness and the willingness that you have brought forth, that energy of sharing, and I'm hoping that we'll also learn some really important lessons from your story. So thank you for what you've shared so far, even. So the cancer diagnosis, and it must have been fairly traumatic. I am interested in, you know, what do you think it is that has contributed to healing? Because you've had this, not just one diagnosis, but you've had two.
Yes. You know, and people ask me that frequently. And so I've had a lot of many years, a lot of reflection on maybe what contributed to the healing. And I think, You know, if I really had to express that, I think talking about it is critical. And this, what I had mentioned just before the little break there, is that despite what you might think or feel, cancer is an organic disease, and I don't think, despite anything that's happened around you, that you can blame any particular person, condition, situation, or yourself for what happens in a situation like a cancer diagnosis. I think getting my head wrapped around that was very, very important to my healing. And then once I got a hold, the anger, right? Anger just builds up other toxicity in your body. So to release the anger, because once the diagnosis is made, there's really nothing you can do about how you got there. All you can do is what you can do where you want to go from this point forward. So the first part of the healing, I think, was getting my head wrapped around that, you know, this was no one's fault, including my own. And now what am I going to do? And then I started, this is an interesting story, because I was actually working at the medical school at the time. And I recalled a couple of years earlier than my own diagnosis, a visiting professor from a university in China that was visiting here at the University of Calgary Medical School. And somebody asked him what he was here to learn. And his answer was, I've come here to, you know, Western Canada, new Tom Baker Cancer Center had just opened. And he said, I've come here to explore this alternative therapy called chemotherapy. And I've never forgotten that. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I thought, oh, isn't that interesting? Alternative to what? I mean, in the Eastern Chinese tradition, they saw chemotherapy as an alternative healing. So when I was diagnosed with this odd prognosis of 6 to 8 months, young person, I thought, well, there are billions of people on this earth. Many of them, the current statistics are 1 in 2 people will be diagnosed with the disease, 1 in 2. How do other people heal? And I set out to find all of that. Once I had got rid of the anger, I was open to healing, right? And then I went out to find all of the different tools that could help me. And so I started with triage, what I called triage, using all of the strength of modern medicine, chemotherapy, surgery, anything that could help me that way, what I called triage, because my life was at stake and I had to get a grip on that. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the danger point sort of passed a little bit. Then adding all of the integrative medicines that are not medicines, integrative approaches that I could seek out there that actually helped me heal from the trauma, the physical trauma of those nasty treatments, which were important. They, you know, everything worked together to, quote, save my life, so to speak. And then maintenance after that. So there's the triage part, there's the beginning to heal, and then there's the maintenance. And putting all of those things, all of those frames of knowing, every human's approach to how they attack this nasty condition became my toolkit. And it's my personal journey. So I would never say to someone, you should do this or you should do that. I would just say, here's my journey and this is how I managed it. But, you know, to go back to the initial question, Yvonne, the anger and the release of blame, I think, is the beginning of the healing process.
Lovely. And I think maybe we'll just take a short break. I'm gonna play a clip, which is talking about part of the reason why I've been working also on writing my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, because I believe that women end up in stressful situations, which is one of the primary triggers, as you've identified, of all kinds of illnesses, serious and major illnesses. And I think when we are speaking up at work, we're confident, we're knowing that we're being heard, it takes a lot of the stress out of it. So let's just play a little bit of a clip about the book.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Thank you. So just a quick reminder before we get into the next part of the story, that if you're listening live and you have questions bubbling up, the call-in number for those questions, you can dial us at 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008, and that is a toll-free number. So I am intrigued. I know that you went on this self-discovery journey. You went around the world, Madagascar, South Africa, Kenya, Bora Bora, the mountains out in China that I don't think I'm going to attempt to pronounce, and Buddhist monasteries in Tibet. So what did you bring back from all of those journeys about integrative health therapies and your next steps?
Yeah, I think, again, what I brought back is the strength of humans, and particularly women. I mean, it's interesting. I never really thought about that, right? But every culture has its frame of reference. Every culture has its way of knowing. And when I removed myself from that North American set of filters that I had, and there's nothing wrong with the North American approach too. It's just one approach. So my learning, and a lot of it came from the knowledge I gained from, you know, sitting and playing drums with the Zulu people in Africa, and, you know, sitting and in the middle of jumping into an ocean and watching a dolphin, you know, 2 inches away from your nose, was this incredible diversity of the world and the knowledge that it has to offer us. And as weird as this is going to sound, what I actually learned, and this is important for the women listening, I think, is that you need to help yourself. You need to help yourself first before you reach out to try and help others. I think women are too nurturing sometimes. And I looked at all of these cultures, and then that was always there. Take the moment to refresh. Take the moment to breathe. Take the moment to say, I am who I am, and I don't need to apologize for that. Every single one of us has something to offer, whether it was a Tibetan monk, whether it was, you know, a quiet little woman I met on the Great Wall of China, you know, whether it was one of these African wives, you know, one of many wives to a big chieftain. They were very proud of who they were and what they stood for. And I thought, you know, how did the women that I hang around with become so weak and apologetic and as you said, Yvonne, forgot their voices?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, isn't it? If anyone is out there listening, having questions bubbling up, 1-888-627-6008, toll free. So let's roll our second little clip, which is, again, speaking more about the book, because I also do include in there a segment on saying sorry. And my belief is that we actually, in Canada especially, say sorry way too much, and that we should just step into action and instead ask for forgiveness if required. Let's roll that second clip.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing.
And I love that you shared about the importance of breathing, because one of the other tips in the book is about having a power pause. And I'm not gonna share the whole book, but just suffice to leave a little teaser there. It is really important, and even when we're traveling, you know, the airline stewardesses always say, put your own air mask on or oxygen mask on first before helping others, because if you're coming from a place of emptiness, you've got, you know, nothing left to give.
Right, and again, I mean, there was one thing I learned in my traveling was the importance of breath, and I use breath for everything. It grounds me, it relieves pain, it relieves stress, it improves confidence. You know, big recommendation, learn how to breathe. Most women do not know how to do this.
So just talk a little bit, because I know that since your own diagnosis, you have gone on to be a founder, co-founder, in an amazing organization that has grown significantly in its programming, in the beautiful things that you teach, in ways to address those who are touched by cancer, and also to support those who are going through their healing journey. And I'm going to call it a healing journey, staying in a positive note, because, you know, you're a two-time survivor. So we know it's possible, and I would love to stay focused on that element of positive energy. As you know, I'm trained in Reiki, but I'm interested in learning a little bit more about Wellspring and how that came about.
Right. So Wellspring, of course, is a beautiful gift to me. You know, there's a long history around the story of Wellspring, which, you know, could take hours just to explain. But in a nutshell, it was three individuals, myself and my friend and colleague, Barbara Cunnings, and then a wonderful, wonderful gentleman, John Stafer. The three of us have been given this honorific title of being co-founders of Wellspring. The organization kind of grew between a conversation that Barbara and I had 15 years or so ago, and then through John's support and partnership, and then opening up into some wonderful, wonderful others. Patty Morris, who is currently the executive director of Wellspring, and so many others, Greg Lussier, our founding board. So Wellspring Calgary, it is just humbling and overwhelming for me to talk about, because it really was an idea that was way before its time. and came from the idea or the personal experience of how difficult it is to travel that healing journey. And so the organization is founded on the principle that no one has to face cancer alone. It mm-hmm. doesn't matter what your gender, what your age, what your type of cancer. The center is a unique facility that offers non-medical needs that rise up with the whole cancer journey. So we support people living with cancer. And we also support their families and friends, which is quite unique because cancer affects everyone, not just the person undergoing the journey. And right. there is an immense exchange of information there. There is support systems. There are multiple programs that from anywhere from energy sessions to programmings, all kinds of programs, meditation, educational programs, financial programs, young adult support for young adults with cancer, speaker series, peer support. We will take care of your children for a little while you go and take the courses. There's a resource library. I mean, it is just an incredible, incredible coming together of community. It is a community-based cancer support center. It is not a treatment center. What I love about Wellspring every time I walk through there is the joy. I hear laughter. I see smiles. I see people, you know, running backwards because that's what they're doing that day. They're laughing. They're playing drums. They're doing art. They're sharing. They're drinking tea. And there are a large number of women in the center. We have men as well, but it is truly a community. And like I say, it overwhelms me, the amount of people that have come together to bring that facility together. We are not funded by the government. We do rely on donations and are currently just in the midst of a rather large capital campaign as we are opening a second center. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. as proud as I am to say that, I wish we didn't need Wellspring, but we do, so much so that we now need to open a second center.
Mm. So for those of the listeners who have already been touched by what you've shared and were not even aware that some of these resources existed, where can they go to learn more about Wellspring, if they'd like to make a donation? It certainly sounds yes. like an amazing group. Where do they go to mm-hmm. do that?
Well, certainly the website is where I would send people. So wellspringcalgary.ca, quite easy to remember. There is a Wellspring Edmonton, if there are folks in Edmonton. There are also several Wellsprings in Ontario throughout the province. My own activity and participation has been with Wellspring Calgary. We are unique. We're attached to the Wellspring Ontario homes, but we are quite autonomous. And our programming is specific to the Southern Alberta region. So Wellspring.com, Wellspring.ca, WellspringCalgary.ca specifically, depending on where the listeners are from.
Lovely. So I know that you've been active in, you know, your own business, obviously, not-for-profit, especially Wellspring, and now mm-hmm. you're doing associate faculty work at mm-hmm. Royal Road. So how do all these things knit together? You know, how does the work that you're doing now support women in particular? I'm interested, obviously, because it's Women yes. and Wisdom. That's the show, right?
yeah. So women in particular is my passion. I mean, right from Chick Wagon, which was a business networking kind of organization there, we kind of started with, building the old girls network. The work at Royal Roads, obviously is not specific to women, but what I'm learning there and where it's all come together is the two topics. So teaching leadership is a critical thing for women in particular. I mean, we know that. We know that women are natural leaders. We know they are different leaders than men. We know mm-hmm. they tend to be more of what we call servant leaders, where they lead kind of from the back and kind of push people along. We know they are collaborative leaders. So when I work with women in the class, I see a lot of the work that you're doing so well with, Yvonne, and in building confidence. They're very apologetic. The language, it goes back. So it comes together in giving them strength to have their voice, strength to say, you don't need to be a man, you need to be a woman, because there are things that are important that you bring to the board table. So the whole leadership is important. The second part of the teaching, which I love, is the topic of entrepreneurship. And the reason I teach that, and I say this to all of my students, men and women, is that women are exceptional entrepreneurs. And I don't believe that there's such a thing as a glass ceiling. I actually think it's a stainless steel ceiling. And the only way for women to do well is to do their own business so they don't get suppressed in that corporate world.
Well, it's so funny that, I knew that we had lots in common when we started our first conversation, but I don't know that I shared with you that my previous business, when I first took my Royal Roads Executive Coach certification, my first business was centered around women, and it was called The Shattered Ceiling. And after being in that energy for about 6 years, I burned out. And I remember having one day where there was five different instances where I had glass breaking all around me. My son dropped a glass off the counter. I dropped a glass Reiki ball into the sink, and it landed in another glass, and dropped a mirror off the counter. Five different incidents, and so much so, it was such a knock on the head, like a 2x4 from the universe. It was like, okay, I get it. I should stop using this name. I've already broken through now. It's time for something else. Because I'm not in pieces. So So that's how Flourish was born. So moving on to the that topic of confidence, yes, women do make exceptional leaders, and part of the reason, again, for putting the book together was hearing over and over from women, clients of mine, that the most common question is, how can I be more confident? And I know that when we have more confident women leaders, that we pay our staff fair wages. This 82 cents on the dollar nonsense, it's time to shift this for sure. Yeah. And if it's women entrepreneurs, then we can level the playing field and then some. So just going to roll the last clip talking about the book for those people who are not familiar with what the book's all about.
I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women and Wisdom today.
And if those of you who are listening and saying, I got to get my Advent copy, it is in its final edits now, so it will be released very shortly. However, you can pre-order at special pricing on my website, which is Words, Women, and spelt in full, A-N-D, wisdom.com, Words, Women, and wisdom.com. Thank you, Rita, for sharing. Let's go back to the phone lines. I know that we've had a number of people joining, and the audience numbers have been growing as we've been online. I think some people probably grab lunch and then come and hop on and listen, and some people joined us right at noon. Do we have callers on the phone with questions? Boy, we have a shy group out there. I think we've been maybe too explanatory, Rita. Or they've just been enthralled by what you're sharing. So let's touch on the real nuggets of all of these experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly you've got a ton of experience, you know, certified facilitator, the board development program. You've been, you know, selected as one of two individuals to help train that program, team of facilitators, 70 or so facilitators. You're doing mm-hmm. the Royal Roads teaching. You're also operating your own consulting business, speaking, facilitating. You know, what nuggets can you share for women who want to elevate their confidence despite life struggles? Because obviously mm-hmm. you've had quite a few.
Well, I think the first one, my top of the list to any woman, is to find a mentor. Find another woman who can not only mentor, but actually, I think there's a difference between mentoring and sponsoring. I know that men do that very well. So if you're a woman out there who is strong, then I would suggest you, you know, offer that service to those that need you. So the difference, of course, between mentorship and sponsorship is that a sponsor will speak and advocate and support their protege even when that person is not around. So men right. tend to do that a lot. So find a mentor, be a mentor, and if you are a mentor, please sponsor your protégés. That's the first mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. The second thing, I think, is to work with a coach, someone absolutely like yourself. I can't think. I mean, I think that's why we resonated so deeply. I can't think of anything more important than language when it comes to seeking help with how to increase confidence. I was very fortunate in that I did have a communication coach that I worked with, quite a well-known woman who took me under her wing, Betty Cooper, and I will never forget what Betty has taught me. She changed my life. So certainly the coaching and the focus on the use of language for sure. And then I think my third, so, you know, find a mentor, seek a communications or language coach. And then the third one that I've already mentioned is not to apologize. Do not apologize for your body shape, the fact that you talk too loud, that you're too quiet, you know, stand in your space. Feel your feelings, learn to understand your feelings, because emotional intelligence is important, and be who you are, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think, you know, I could add other things, but some of it, like the breath, you know, is part of the communication component.
Absolutely.
Oh, there's my household. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love what you're sharing, and you're right. It is so in tune, and it could be because we've both been women entrepreneurs for a while. I mean, I think this is my eighth startup now.
Right.
But certainly, you know, finding a mentor, women who are working on their own in entrepreneurship have an 88,
right.
or should I say, let me just get some stats right. They have a 50% failure rate. Whereas
exactly.
if they actually work with a mentor,
yeah.
it's 88%.
Yeah.
So there's a huge, huge difference.
Mm-hmm. And teaching entrepreneurship, that's the first lesson, is entrepreneurs do not and cannot work alone.
Yeah, because, I mean, when I think about my first business, because I had several startup opportunities already, others around me were looking and saying, wow, you've already done this and you've done that and you've done that. Holy smokes, you're on the fast track. Well, this is not my first, this is not my first rodeo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, every experience you go through, there's a learning, and sometimes it's failing forward and learning through the, journey of hard knocks, and sometimes it's through learning through others. But one of the big ones for me in entrepreneurship has been technology, how to utilize technology more effectively, and the resources shared through other colleagues of mine. When you're in a community group, it's amazing because we don't have time to go out and do, tons of research all the time or learn, hundreds and hundreds of new programs. That's precious time for entrepreneurs. And yet, if we don't have strong systems in place for our business, we must have strong staff or strong systems in order to be able to take a vacation and be on the beach and still be regenerating revenue and relaxing with our family.
Yeah, very good point. I have to share, I mentioned Betty Cooper and my coach. When you said falling forward, Betty had a backup for everything. So I used to say that, I've fallen flat on my face again, Betty. And she would say to me, well, yeah, but when you're falling, you're still falling forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still movement.
Forward,
Well, my perspective on it is there are no failures in life. There are just lessons. There are learning opportunities. And until you actually step into action, you really have no idea what it is that you're actually going to learn. And by doing, we learn so much. So in the case of, mentorship, as you know, I chair several different mentorship programs. I custom design mentorship internal programs for different organizations. And I've had so many people ask me recently about that topic of, will you be my mentor? And I feel right now, because of the book schedule, that I can't really take on any new individuals. So what I'm going to do actually is I'm actually going to put a program together that's kind of a combination of coaching, mentorship, and masterminding. So I think I'm going to call it Wisdom Circles. So if anyone is listening and wants more info about that, shoot me a note through Facebook or on LinkedIn or through your email, and I will happily share a little bit more about that later on in the week. It's just sort of bubbling up together now. Mm-hmm. The other thing about sponsors, isn't it interesting that, we need sponsors because there just aren't enough female senior role models. I mean, the statistics show the numbers. So we have to engage and ask some of our male colleagues because they're usually the ones who are in those roles two steps ahead of us. Mentors are great to be one step ahead, but sponsors two steps ahead is what I always encourage. So where can they get more of Rita? You talked about the Wellspring group, and if they there are listeners who want to bring you in as a facilitator or a speaker, where can they get more of Rita?
Well, certainly LinkedIn, just reach out there. Or the consulting website is insightactiongrowth.com. So it's the three words put together, insightactiongrowth.com.
Lovely. Well, Rita, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you today, learning more about your journey. I'm so looking forward to continuing this conversation, whether it be through business or social manner. For those of you dialed in today and have enjoyed this session, the next show coming up is on August 21st. I'm going to leave my guest as a surprise so that you have an opportunity to hop on in a couple of weeks and join me and learn about my new guest. Rita, it's been a pleasure. And I look forward very much to what we can both do together to help women elevate their confidence in the world. And thank you so much for your contribution.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been an absolute honor, and thank you to listeners for giving me their time. Thank you so much.